So let's see. There's the cake, the dress, the photographer, the gifts, the honeymoon, the flowers. Whew. When you're getting married, there's so much to do and the cost can add up really quickly. It's easy to see how couples today are overspending and feeling stressed out before they even get married.
While you're busy getting ready for the wedding, what should you be doing to prepare for the marriage? That's what we're talking about today on Real Family Talk.
Roz is living every woman's dream. She can't wait to be a bride. She writes, I'm getting married in a few months to the most wonderful man in the world. Our biggest stress is the cost of the wedding. It's all adding up so fast. My fiancé and my parents think we should cut back on the expenses. How can we keep our dream wedding from becoming a financial nightmare? Well, let's face it, weddings are expensive. According to the Wedding Report, Inc., the average cost of a wedding in the United States is $26,720, which for many people is half a year's salary. In Australia, it's about $36,200. In South Africa, it can run from 70,000 rand to as high as 200,000 rand, which currently equals about $15,400. Remember, the purpose to get married is, the purpose for weddings is to get married.
That's true. And people often forget that they want to do all kinds of things. And ultimately, what we want them to do is to get married. So don't try to feed the world. You know, don't try to give gifts to everyone. What you want to do at the end of the wedding is to be married.
But what about the tradition? What about all the family? What about all the friends, the village, the community, the church?
That's all well and good. And it doesn't have to be all the church, and it doesn't have to be the whole neighborhood. What you want to do is to keep it in perspective. You know, you can't have this much money and have this much expense. It just doesn't work. And since there are so many expenses that are related to marriage, the last thing you want to do is begin marriage bankrupt, because it's going to be a long time.
That's absolutely right. You know, we recently went to a wedding where they did something like that. They invited the entire church and a lot of friends for the most important part, actually, of the wedding, which is
the
ceremony
in the church.
Of getting married in the church or wherever it is that you're doing that with the pastor. And then they had a smaller dinner with closer family and friends. And I thought that that was a good idea so that the community feels involved and invited and they can participate in the vows. I thought that was a great idea.
Yes, I thought what you were going to say was that at the end of the ceremony, as people were walking out, everybody got a cupcake. So even if you didn't go to the reception, you got something sweet and you got something to eat. Everyone got it.
That was brilliant.
That was
so
brilliant.
One of the things that we recommend for couples as they're going through this crazy cycle of wedding planning is to develop a mission statement for your marriage based on your spiritual values. Put emphasis on preparing for the marriage rather than simply getting ready for a wedding.
Yes, because the wedding is just going to take a few days. I mean, a few hours. Sometimes a few
Sometimes
days.
Sometimes it is a few days.
Yes, preparing for it. But the wedding only takes but a few hours. But what you're really preparing for is a lifetime. So you're preparing for marriage. The wedding needs to be nice and decent and memorable, but it should not break the bank. If it's breaking the bank, you need to see how it jives with your values. And unless you have values of being broke and starting broke, then that's not going to work.
Yeah, I think, we don't want to put down having weddings. And obviously, if people are independently wealthy and they've been faithful in giving back their tithe and offering and they're giving to the community and all of that, and they want to throw a grand wedding, I think, you know, that's fine. But what we often see is that there are a lot of people who don't have the funds, and there's so much stress that they feel that they think they have to do this grand production for everyone, you know, for Facebook, for their relatives, for their parents. And sometimes it becomes overwhelming to the couple. And so it really is important that couples understand that weddings are to get married and that marriage is a God thing.
Yeah.
That it's more than just this grand party, this grand reception and beautiful flowers. It should be nice, but it doesn't have to break the bank, as you're saying.
I want to acknowledge the fact that we're speaking to a world audience, and Real Family Talk, thankfully, airs all over the world. And in many of these communities, people have three and four receptions, and the whole village needs to be invited. I'm not trying to throw cold water on any of your practices. I'm simply saying that here's a new couple, here's a young couple starting out in life, and if they're going to make it, they can't make it by giving away all of their resources. So be sincere about what you're doing. Make it nice. Invite significant people in your life to your wedding, but don't try to overextend yourself. Even God says you need to count the cost. If you're building a house, count the cost so you can finish that building.
Next, we'll meet a couple who are getting married soon and planning their wedding. We'll find out how it's going and share some tips to giving their marriage a great start. Brandy and Justin are here. She is a registered nurse and he is a software developer. They are getting married very soon and we're so excited for them. So, Brandy and Justin, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having us.
So, tell us where and how did you meet?
Well, we met at the infamous potluck at our pastor's house. He apparently was setting us up, but we didn't know it at the time. And he invited us over for dinner. And usually to get into his apartment, you have to call his cell phone. So the cell phone rang and it said Justin Martin on it. And I said, I'm not going to touch the pastor's phone. And I just let it ring. And then it came, Justin came in and I said, you must be Justin. And
oh.
That's how we first met.
So wow. you saw his name on the pastor's phone.
I saw his name on the pastor's phone. Okay. Being the good church member I was, I didn't answer his phone. So
I just looked at it.
Yeah. So there's a lot to be said then for these church potlucks then.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, don't ignore them because you might find your future mate.
Apparently. And again, like she stated, apparently it was the pastor who planned for us to get together. And I don't think we found out until... Yeah.
This year,
this year.
So, okay, so you guys saw each other, and then immediately you just started talking?
Well, it's a potluck, so you just socialize, and, you know, he was socializing with everybody, and...
Right, right, and it was my first, I guess, potluck, because I had just become, a member at Capitol Hill, and so it was just my first potluck, so I was getting to know everybody, so I think Brandy and I talked for... I don't know, 5-10 minutes maybe. And then after that, you know, I don't think we really spoke again because she left early to the potluck progressed and then she had to go to work the next morning. So she left a little early. And then I think maybe 2 weeks later or something like that, it was the next time we kind of talked again.
And you saw each other at church?
Or? Correct, correct.
Oh, okay. And then you remembered that Justin Martin.
Yes, I did.
You did remember his name?
Yes, only because he went to college with my brother, and I had to inquire about him. So I called my brother and said, do you know a Justin Martin?
Wait. I like it, sir. Why did you call to inquire about him? You thought he was interesting? What?
Probably. Yeah.
Okay. So how long did you date before you decided to get engaged?
We were dating for about just under a year and a half, probably, before we got engaged. And I think I can't speak for Brandy, but, you know, I kind of felt like it was time. I didn't put a time limit on or anything like that, but, you know, getting to know her, getting to know her personality, her character, the qualities that she had. I know it was something, you know, I thought that this could work. This could be someone I could spend the rest of my life with.
Okay. So that's what led you to ask her to marry you? You did ask, right?
I asked.
Oh, you asked.
And then I said no.
We're just joking.
No. Yeah.
No. Oh, okay. No, yeah. They're playing with us.
So what I'm hearing you say is her personality, her character, all these good qualities that you saw in her.
Correct.
Led you to believe that it was time to ask her. That
Correct.
You weren't putting any time limits. You simply observe her good features.
Correct.
Her good values.
Right.
And you thought this was a good idea and a good opportunity to ask.
Correct. And it was more of a, like you said, I didn't put a time limit, but as you learn someone, you kind of get a good sense of their character, get a good sense of the person they are. And again, like I said, you know, there were a lot of qualities that I was looking for personally. And so, you know, it can't let a good one get away.
Oh, that's wonderful.
You can't get a good one, get away. I just want to make sure that I put this in there. I'm looking at you. I know a little bit about you. They told us before you came on set. You're both out of college. Mm-hmm. You both graduated from college, and you're both working.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's when you meet. You're already out of college, and you're going to church, same church, so similar values, and so no time limit. So I just want to make sure that we're saying that, well, once you've gotten your education, you're both working, then you may not need time limits. But mm-hmm. a year and a half is not bad.
Mm-hmm. I didn't think
yeah.
so.
Yeah, that's a good time frame, yeah. Especially when you seem pretty clear about what you were looking for, Justin. What about you, Brandy?
I wanted someone who was funny, outgoing, adventurous, which he really is. And I've always thought of wanting someone who my family knows. Or like someone I grew up with. But we didn't grow up together, but he grew up with my brother. They went to college, so I had a good foundation of who he was. So having that, and definitely a man of God, and someone who's stable in their thinking and their actions, and that's what he was, and then career-driven. So for me, it's just the simple things. And, of course, you know, he's nice-looking, handsome. That's very important. but aside from that, personality is my biggest thing. I wanted to find my best friend, and we're still growing into that. But essentially, that's what I was looking for. So.
Well, I love the fact that you guys mentioned that you met at a potluck, which meant that the pastor kind of set you guys up. So it was kind of like an arranged marriage in a sense.
Okay.
And there's nothing wrong with that. If, you know, when we talk about arranged marriages, we're not talking about in the traditional sense, although right. we're not getting on that. But arranged in the sense that you went to a place where you knew there were people who cared about you,
yeah.
who liked you. You even mentioned, you even liked the fact that your brother knew him, that mm-hmm. somebody in your family knew him. And that's really important, and we're emphasizing that for our viewers, because a lot of times people feel like they have to go out of their circle mm-hmm. of comfort and of their community to go find someone because, oh, I know all the people right. in that circle. That's probably one of the best places to find someone because you are going to find someone that hopefully will share similar values.
In fact,
with you.
Even the research says that a good place to find a mate is among your friends and your relatives, you know, someone who introduces you, in this case, your pastor, but he went to college with your brother. So you could check with your brother and find out, you know, what's this guy like, you know.
Right.
These are good places to be and to go to find someone. And of course, you were both going to the same church, which is a wonderful thing.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So how have you guys prepared for marriage? What have you done to prepare for marriage?
We've looked a lot into financing, finances, trying to cut some costs personally so that when we come together, we don't have a lot going on financially. So trying to do that independently and just being able to think about exactly what it is we want in marriage. So we're kind of planning that.
So are you doing premarital counseling? Or are you, you're doing premarital counseling. That's fantastic.
Pre-engagement counseling as well, which a lot of people tend to do or tend not to do. So we looked into every avenue, so pre-engagement and then also premarital.
Excellent. Yeah. Pre-engagement counseling, and we've spoken a lot about that.
So two rounds of counseling.
Yes. Correct.
Pre-engagement and premarital. And how have you felt or how have you found that? Has it helped?
It's definitely helped me. It's helped me to kind of learn her temperament, learn how she deals with things, learn my temperament, and how not necessarily, it won't necessarily be a conflict, but just a difference, right? So how you navigate those differences and how we can try to work with one another to kind of, you know, work with communication, with just our goals, things like that. So it's been very helpful.
So you would recommend this for other couples who are going into marriage? And would you recommend the pre-engagement counseling?
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Yeah, because there are a lot of people that are scared of that. And I've heard people say, well, you know, are we doing this because you want to, like, get rid of me or you want to find all my faults? You know, what would you say to someone who, you know, like, if your friend said that to you?
I would say it definitely gives you a clear view and a picture of who you're getting married to or possibly thinking of getting married to. It gives you that idea of what can I deal with, what can I deal with? You know, what am I compromising? What am I, you know, non-compromising? And it gives you that direction. If, you know, I want to go this route, if I want to say, hey, you know, we're good, best wishes to you and keep moving.
and also, probably would you say that you also learn a lot about yourself?
Yes.
And how you handle situations, as Justin was saying earlier, that's really important, too. And I think that's really important for people to understand a lot more about themselves. Up next, we'll play a little game to find out how much Brandy and Justin know about each other. Stay with us. We're back with Brandy and Justin, who are getting married soon. In the last segment, we asked them a lot of questions. Now it's their turn to ask us some questions. So, guys, tell us, what do you want to ask us?
So, my first question would be, what do you think you were most unprepared for going into marriage?
Wow, that's a good one.
That's an excellent question.
That's a good one.
I'm trying to think about it.
I would say I was unprepared for the togetherness, just always being together, you know, and being away from my family because
I thought I became your family.
Well, right, and so you see how You know, you have to, like, really make that transition because you don't get married and all of a sudden this person is your family, you know? And so that was hard, like, and the other thing was that I lived at home during college and then I got married 2 months after college. So I never lived on my own. I never lived in a dorm, you know? So I lived at home. I had my own room, you know? I mean, even though we had one bathroom in the house or two bathrooms, still, it was just like this whole togetherness thing. I mean, it was great, but it was, I think I was just a little unprepared for it.
I thought you were going to say getting used to being married to a pastor, you know, and being a pastor's wife, but that's fine. You know, for me, I was unprepared for how much she was going to spend. what's the next question?
Next question. Let's see. What would you say, how are we able to not become stumbling blocks for each other? I think is a...
That's an excellent question. I think one good way of not becoming a stumbling block for the other is having a devotional life and being aware of the fact that you want to be a support to your spouse in their spiritual life and asking God to give you patience, to give you kindness, to give you love. He's promised that he will supply all of our needs. So I would say be intentional about asking God to give you what you need, not to become a hindrance to your mate in their relationship with God.
Yeah. And a lot of grace and a lot of forgiveness. And there's something that you just said, that Willie said, which is praying together and recognizing where the other person is in their spiritual life. And sometimes, especially as women, you know, if we grew up in the church, you know, we look to our husbands to be the spiritual leader. And that's biblical. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that he is always going to be spiritually strong. And so when he's not, that's not the time to criticize him or judge him or vice versa. But especially this happens with women and men. It's like, well, what's going on with you? You're supposed to be the spiritual leader. And just being patient and being there for him and being willing to listen to what are his concerns, what's happening in his life, you know, what's causing him to go through this lull in his spiritual life. And I think that's how you can really avoid being a stumbling block, because if he is at a down point, and we all go through these challenges spiritually, the last thing he needs is a nagging wife, as Solomon says.
Or someone to push you down or kick you while you're down. So be the wind beneath his wings. Yes, and hers.
Yeah. Do we have time for another question?
Yes, another question.
What do you think, in your experience, is the biggest misconception people have going into marriage?
That they're going to always have a party, that they're so in love and nothing could go wrong. And that goes out the window after the honeymoon. Sometimes the honeymoon is not even over and you're already getting into stuff. So be prepared to, because the biggest issue in marriage is managing differences. And so be on your P's and Q's about that and prepare yourself to be flexible. To be more flexible than you think you had to be.
I would leave it at that.
Yeah.
So I think it's time for us to play the game.
Yeah.
So let's see how much Brandy and Justin know about each other. All right. So get your have your boards ready?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. No looking at each other's answers. All right, guys. Here's the first question. What is your beloved's favorite type of food? Okay. Quick.
All right, reveal. Let's see. Okay, Caribbean, Mexican. Is that correct?
That is correct.
That's correct.
Ah,
oh, okay.
Very good. You get a point.
One for one.
Here's question number two. Erase and get ready to write. All right. What's your beloved worst habit? Ouch.
Hopefully they leave the show still liking each other.
Yeah.
Oh, he's writing a lot. Okay, let's see.
All right. Procrastination, she said, and being right being all right the time. Is he right?
Okay, now, what is it? There's a statement that he always makes.
You know, like the guy who said, I knew I married Miss Wright. Okay. I just didn't know her first name was always. Okay. Procrastination?
Yeah, that's a struggle of mine.
Justin is willing to accept that's his.
Okay.
I'm not sure that Brandy is accepting that being right all the time.
I can't, then I would be wrong.
That's funny.
All right. Next question. When you get married, who will most likely handle the finances?
Reveal? All right.
Mutual.
Both are mutual. All right.
I like that.
Yeah, I like that.
That's a good idea that both of you get involved in the finances. Even if one is more skilled at doing finances, it's important that both of you stay involved so that no one feels taken for granted or feels like they have no idea what's happening.
Not to mention the fact that finances needs the input of both of you so that you both feel ownership of what's happening with your finances. Because whatever the other person does, you're going to be a part of that, and you want to be able to own that decision. Okay?
Let's go to the next question.
When you get married, who will most likely handle household chores? Reveal? All right. She's still writing. Brandy, Justin, cooks.
Oh, Brandy's going to handle the chores, and Justin is going to do the cooking?
Is that what it is?
Well, we just ask about the chores.
Oh, just the chores. Oh,
it's a chore.
And he says mutual. Well, she's considering that a chore.
Okay.
So do I take it you don't like to cook? Or?
Oh, no, I love to cook. I guess mutual.
But that's what they're saying.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
You know, they're both. She has Brandy and Justin, so that's mutual. That's both of you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Excellent.
Good. That's good.
Excellent, excellent. So some people from other countries are watching and saying, really? Okay. Right. We only have time for one last one.
When you want to treat your beloved, what would he or she like most? All right, this one has to be fast.
Yeah. Reveal? Chocolate cookies. Oh, I'm sorry. Chocolate chip cookies. Okay, so you both like the same kind of cookies.
Yeah.
That's nice.
We should have brought them some chocolate chip cookies. Oh, that's wonderful. That's great, guys. That
Terrific.
Sounds like you've really learned a lot about each other. Thank you so much for coming on the show and allowing us to learn a little bit more about you.
We have a gift for you. So here's a gift. For the newlyweds, or not the newlyweds, but on their way to getting married. God bless you. We'll be praying for you as you prepare just a few more months to go.
Yes, okay. Sir.
5 more months?
Four more months.
Don't scare him.
Okay.
Very well.
Okay, that's all for today's Real Family Talk. Join us again when we'll talk more about strengthening families and inspiring hope. Meanwhile, to watch more of Real Family Talk, please visit our website at hopetv.org/realfamilytalk.